Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Part two.
It's time for your sunrise, guys. Dirt and Sprague.
First we get the bard out.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's the American Woodcock.
Brandon Sprague.
Then the American Crow.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Keep up the requests, guys.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. A great open for our final hour guest today. And he has become a great friend of the show and a great friend of the station because he's helping us make sense of all the madness that has gone on. Wright Gazaway joining us, Wright K2 on Twitter. You go give him a follow. We have requests for Georgia football questions, so we'll get to those. We'll make sure, just make sure we're nice and tight on the mic over there. Scooting on. Yeah, you can just slide it over there that way. Go. There you go. Now, let's start with the most important thing. You just got back last night from Cabo.
I did. Thanks for letting me sleep in.
Yes. Oh, no, dude, 9 a.m. We're like, whenever you want to come in today, we're going to be willing to go with it. How was Cabo? What's the review?
It was great. Yeah. That was the first time we've been. Little baby moon.
Oh.
I haven't actually publicly announced that, so I guess the secret's
dude, out. Did you just, we just broke news?
Nice.
We got to hold on. We got to drop for that and everything, man.
Yeah,
wow.
We're a couple months behind. You're having a baby in October,
we got our
right?
second one's coming in end of September, early October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our first one in December.
Wow.
Right around my birthday.
Are we excited? Are we ready to be, we're all in, here we go?
Yeah. We're getting excited. It gets more and more real every time you go to the doctor.
Yes. So. Every appointment that shows up, the ultrasound gets a little bit bigger. You're like, damn, this is actually happening, man. Yeah.
So we're having a boy. So
congratulations,
my wife and I
man.
Both went to Georgia, so. She's like, he has to go to Georgia.
Yes, you have to send him that direction. Now, have we ironed out names yet? Have we gotten any?
We've thought of some. We haven't.
Okay.
So it's different since it's our first, hypothetically talking about names.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, wait, we're really actually naming a person?
Right.
We need to think a little bit longer. So we thought we had some names, and then it's like, okay, well, this is permanent.
Yeah, we got some time still.
There you go.
We're not there yet.
Peace, are there family names you have to include in the process?
Are there what?
Is there a family name you have to include?
We've talked about my wife's maiden name. So that's, I think,
okay,
we're
that's a good strategy.
Yeah.
I like that. Kind of pay homage there a little bit. You got time, man. We got my, just like the Blazers in the city council, we got
that's
4 months to iron out these details. Okay?
I might be in the hospital. You know, my wife, in Cabo, my wife said, phone goes up. I think I tweeted last night for the first time.
Once you arrive back,
I did some replies, and she was like, put your phone up. We're on vacation.
Well, here's what I will say. First off, glad you had a good time in Cabo. Congrats on the kid, man.
Thanks.
That's super exciting. It is... You deserve. I hate when people give me compliments. I just don't like talking about myself.
I feel like I'm doing my job.
I apologize for this. So I just want to get it out of the way at the start of the interview. You have been incredible. This
entire
process, man. Like, this stuff is so. The way our city works, I think a lot of people are learning, like, huh?
Yeah.
Why did we vote on? Why does the mayor not have any control?
Yeah.
What is this ranked choice stuff? How did it lead to this? Like, I think a lot of people who don't pay attention to politics are understanding, like, oh, this is a really convoluted process. And you have done a great job highlighting. What we need to know, when the dates, like, all right, you're at the hearings. I'm watching these things online, and I'm like, I don't know how your ass is sitting in there for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Because it seems crazy, but I just wanted to give you a round of applause.
Thank you.
You deserve it. You deserve all the flowers.
I just want to tell people.
Yes.
If you look at my tweets from the county meeting, I won't be as in-depth today. I think I gave everyone the details.
Yes.
I just think the process can confuse people, so I think today will be a little less of the play-by-play and more of just the high-level, okay, here's what's happening.
Yes.
So people don't have to worry about... votes and votes and votes.
Yes. This amendment's thrown up. Let's vote on it. Amendment, this amendment's thrown up. Let's vote on it.
All the terminology.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing for people to understand is there's like a the draft term sheet we've all seen. Like, that's the working document that's on the table right now. And all the amendments will be to that. And then they'll take those votes. And then there will be a final vote on the end of however this document got amended.
Okay.
So there will be many, many votes. And then there will be a final vote.
Got it.
So
okay. Now, they did some work yesterday in their session. Is that, did I read the articles right? There's been amendments already proposed.
There's a new amendment. Last week, basically, the council president said, seven of them came out and said, we're not supporting any amendments last week. We need some more time to talk with our negotiating team about like what would be good and palatable. So there was an amendment proposed by four councilors that seemingly, if you read between the lines, there will be the votes for that. That would be the first formal amendment adopted. And we can get into the differences, but it's really just there's an ask for $2 million in rent from the team.
Okay. To $2 million total or $2 million increase in what they were asking before?
$2 million in addition to the $3 million. So it would be a total of $5 million. And I think I've talked to some councilors this morning.
Yeah, that's going to go over well.
I think they understand there's a possibility, probably a likelihood, that it won't end up in the final terms. But they feel like, hey, this is our opening offer. Let's just put some more asks in there. Because once they approve this term sheet, theoretically, it kind of creates a ceiling.
Right, on what more you can ask for.
Exactly.
So you can iron out specific details inside of it, but that's kind of the parameters of the deal.
You can't come back in October and say, actually, well, we want $7 million. So I think they feel like, let's put the ceiling a little bit higher, give some room to negotiate.
Okay.
Because I think the original offer, the number's gone up, and I think as they've realized, okay, we need to maybe have a higher number so that if we negotiate down,
yes,
and that will be the big sticking point
between both sides. That it seems like the biggest looming issue. So let me ask, and I mean, you don't need to give me like a vote predictor. You know, who knows what these people are going to do today? I guess I would ask, where is the going into today? Because this is just entering into, to your point, the framework of negotiating the deal, right? Like here is our MOU. Now we can start ironing out the specifics of it. Is there any concern that this does not pass today?
There's not concern from the people that are in the majority. At least they tell me. They feel confident.
So whether it's 7-5, whether it's 8-4, whatever the number ends up being, they feel good today will be.
And they really just need 6.
Touché.
The mayor could be the 7th vote. And he said he will be.
Now, I've debated this with, you know, I got a buddy who's a cousin who's a lobbyist, and he knows way more about local politics than I do. We've changed the structure of our local government that basically strips the powers away from the mayor.
Correct.
In years previous. Have we ever had him be a tie-breaking vote?
He's done it one time.
Okay.
He actually broke a tie to have something fail, which didn't need to happen.
Okay.
He cannot be a tie-breaking vote on amendments. This is the ruling the city attorney made. It's really weird.
This makes sense.
He can be the tiebreaker on the final vote.
Okay.
So the final term sheet resolution vote, he can vote on.
$120 million term sheet, here you
correct.
Go. I
but
can be
any
the vote
of the
on that.
Amendments to it, they've determined he cannot. Same with budget amendments.
Okay.
He can vote on final products. This is why, like in the last form of government, the sitting mayor at the time and two of the commissioners who were running for mayor said, we've got to fix this because who in the right mind, you get all the blame and you have very, very little power.
Yes. Why would anybody want to be the mayor of Portland at this point? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, exactly.
Okay. So we're feeling good about the vote possibly passing. Now, you mentioned the sticking point likely being one of the biggest ones once we get to the phase of negotiating between them and the team. Of the rent that's being asked to be paid. So we get that report that comes out. They're wanting $2 million more on top of what the original thought was. And it just seems like a complete non-starter. We know that the team is going to have sticking points with this. Do we foresee the rent being the biggest sticking point for the organization? Is it because then this is where you've done a great job of like you're finding these little tidbits of all this talk about, you know, union labor, and then there's, hey, here's an agreement in place. Or, hey, we don't have an architect, but hey, here's an architect coming to a meeting.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that we've talked about seems like there's been some resolution on the outside. Is the rent going to be the biggest sticking point, or is there something else in your mind, you think?
The union thing is two different issues. So you have the union labor for the project, which I've been told no one builds in Oregon thinking you would not hire union labor for that. That was what the union quote-unquote agreement was for the project. There's also the issue of allowing the arena workers to unionize.
Okay.
And those people don't work directly for the Blazers, but they work for vendors that the Blazers pay. So they effectively pay their wages. And I think that's a concern from the team's perspective because unions negotiate better wages, and then that comes out of the concessions that they have to pay. So I'm not saying they will say no.
Well,
but
also, there's a lot of people that work those part-time jobs that don't want to be part of a union.
Yeah.
They don't want to be beholden because they want to go do similar things in different. And so if they're part of one union and they want to go work somewhere else and they don't have a union, it creates a problem. So
what's been told to me is they call these labor peace agreements. And basically, it doesn't mean you have to let them unionize. It just means as an employer, you can't, you know, advocate against
bar
it.
Them.
You can't bring in anti-union voices that might convince people not to. It just means you can't get in the way of it. So it doesn't mean necessarily that they will unionize.
Okay.
It just limits what as the operator of the arena, what they could do as far as like trying to convince them not to unionize.
Right, right. I've also seen too, I know, because in some markets that does happen. In San Francisco, they have a union for the workers at whatever their baseball, Oracle Park now. And they'll have moments where they're going on strike and everybody freaks out because there's your concession, like everybody that works the stadium.
I know.
Who's here to take the tickets if they all go on strike? And then you got to fail the staff.
And the team said when they were asked this question, well, we already have unions that we negotiate within the arena, which seemingly puts some of that to rest because some of those workers, I'm not sure, I think there's one of them that is in a union.
Like operation staff or something like that.
Something like that. So I think the big is going to be the rent.
The rent is the biggest one.
The team came forward at the last work session they were at. And basically, I had to go back and listen to this again. Dwayne Hankins said, we've lost $1 billion in the last 20 years. And I don't know what he's enveloping into that, but like with a B. And I had to go back and he said,
that's
$1
billion? Insane.
And so I don't know what they're, but that's the framework they're coming at this from. And they've told me in the past, like, we cannot agree to a lease or an agreement that doesn't allow us to be a sustainable business. I just think it comes down, you know, it's going to come down to the city and the team.
Right. Figuring that out.
Finding some common ground.
Finding a solution to it. Ryan Gasaway is in studio with us, a reporter for K2. He's been awesome on this beat the entire time. At Ryan K2 on Twitter. Go give him a follow. It'll be a one-stop shop for all the information that we need to find out today. Now, we're feeling confident that the vote will pass today, whether it's 667584. What are the other things that we're looking for today? As somebody who doesn't follow the political proceedings day in and day out, I know the rent will be a big thing that they talk about. You're mentioning all these different amendments that will get thrown out. As an outsider looking in, what should I have my eye on and what should I be listening for today, I guess, from the city council in your mind?
I think the city, the people in the city that want this deal to get done and want this term sheet to pass are just looking for a vote that sends a message to the team that, hey, we're serious about this. If the team doesn't follow local government, they don't necessarily know when they hear one councilor or two councilors saying something was the majority of people there. So they're trying to maybe guesstimate some of this too. So I think the city's position, the mayor's position is, well, let's get a vote, and then the team can really know, okay, this is the majority we're working with, or this is the group we're working with, and these are, you know. So I think they feel like it puts a lot on paper, where it's like we've just now had like one-off statements, and nobody really knows, okay, is this person speaking for themselves? Are they speaking for a block? Are they speaking for a minority or the majority? So I think they just hope getting the vote out there will allow both sides to quit posturing.
Okay.
We saw you were able to get through public records some of the email correspondence behind the scenes.
Yeah.
How much is there back channel communication between the two parties that's going on? And then who we know the county hired Isaacs, and there's some flack going on about them negotiating on behalf of the county. Do we know, is Hankins the lead negotiator? Who's the point person for the Trailblazers that at the end of the day, when you go into the boardroom where there's no cameras, do we know who that person is for the Blazers that's going to be doing that?
I think his name starts with Tom.
Is he going to show up and be that guy? I guess that's a question.
Yeah, I tell you this. I asked somebody with the team, who is that? And they said, if you can find out, let me know. It's the Board of Governors, and I think I've gotten it's Tom. Right now, it's the meetings that happen. They have weekly standing meetings. It's Dwayne Hankins. It's the attorney that we saw, Zandria Conyers, and the team's CFO. I believe that they report directly back to the team's owner, who will have to take on any financial agreements that they come up with.
Yeah. I know he's signing it off. I just didn't know at what point or what point in the proceedings, in the timeline, do we get to where Tom's butt is in a seat in a conference room ready to get the thing done.
Yeah. I think that the negotiations will pick up in earnest tomorrow. I mean, when the term sheet's done and you start to see like, okay, this is less theoretical and this is like the actual term sheet we're working with. And I don't want to overstate or understate this, but there is a lot of work to do between both sides to get this to a final vote in December. This term sheet is the city's position and the county's position. The team has agreed to absolutely none of it. So there's a lot of work to be done. I'm not saying it's impossible. The city's confident it will get a deal.
Sure.
But there's a lot of work to do for sure.
What role, if any, does Governor Kotek play at this point?
I think, I honestly think her role is probably pretty limited. I think from the city's perspective, the sources I have, they really feel like it's the NBA that will come in, and you know, that's a touch and go thing because the commissioner works for the owners. But if you have a public government, the city feels like putting all this money on the table, the NBA is really going to encourage that team, wherever
right.
they are,
right.
to negotiate, because then what does it mean for any other city or county or state in the future?
You screw yourself over, yeah, in the long term.
So I think they really feel like, hey, let's approve a term sheet that the NBA looks at and says, this is fair, this is reasonable, we can work with this, and then move forward.
Interesting. Okay, right, guys, away in studio, K2. I'm curious to ask you on the last time we saw the city council and the Blazers come together, was that testimony or the back and forth that we saw? You mentioned that some of the stuff that Hankins said kind of standing out. It was interesting to hear them at times talk out of the Blazers, that is, talk out of both sides of their mouth in terms of the idea of a lawsuit looming over their head and this noose that's out there. We got to get rid of this. And everybody, even the mayor, jumping in and being like, guys, we're not going to sue you. It's not just because one counselor said we might sue you. Like, we need all of us to vote. I need to vote. Like, it's not going to happen. And the Blazers kept having that be their sticking point when the city kept arguing, we just have to have that in place in case you are to leave. We need to have some way to recoup
Correct.
Some
they
resources.
Will,
right?
And they will sue the team if
oh,
they
without
leave.
A doubt. And they should sue the team
and
if
the
they
team
leave.
And the team wants that off the table as well.
Yeah, okay. So where are we at on that? And is there anything negotiated with that today in the MOU?
Well, you know, the reason I got those emails between the city and the team accidentally sent them to the city. And the reason I got those is because I knew there was a letter that was sent to the team from the city's attorney essentially saying, not only do we not plan to sue you, we actually cannot sue you in this current lease agreement unless you left.
Right.
So basically saying we are not, because the team, there was a concern that the city would sue the team as a means of inducing their private investment in this project. And they're saying, look, if we have a new agreement and this bridge lease doesn't terminate because you leave, we have no actual recourse to sue you. So essentially the only way we're going to have any dispute over this first class provision is if you leave. And I'll just add, the team also says they believe it's in first class condition now. So shouldn't be that big of a deal to them. If they believe the number is zero,
right?
It shouldn't really matter to them either.
Yeah, that was such
and
a
they
common
really,
thing.
They really want the city to put in writing that the arena is in first-class condition today, because then you can't come back and sue them in 2030 and say
right.
it's not.
Right, right, right.
So, and that was the letter, and then those emails got caught up in that records request because of the date window I used.
Right.
So
it was great. I mean, to get the behind the scenes of some of the correspondence that happened back and forth was very eye opening. And it did have some light on or shed some light on certain things that maybe we found some common ground on. Now, where are we at on the idea of an architect being involved and or who was the group that they hired or potentially was working with them? Yeah. So what's the update on that? And what do we know about that?
There's an issue here with the payment of that architect. So what the back and forth was the Blazers wanted the city to either pay for it or split it. And then the city basically said, they gave two options. They said, we can split it 50-50. We need to amend the current lease that outlines, because the current lease outlines how those, how that money can be spent right now. And it, like the scoreboards that we got, they did some lower seats.
Yeah.
So they would need to amend that. Or the city also said, go ahead and pay for this architect. And when we get our new lease agreement, we'll reimburse you dollar for dollar, 100%. So the city feels like they gave two really reasonable options to go ahead and move this forward so that the architect could get to work on a project. That email at least shows you that the meetings are continuing and they've now brought an architect.
Right. Behind the scenes stuff is still moving technically, while the public testimony at times seems to be more contentious.
Yeah, and I think the city wants a lot of stuff in writing from the Blazers, and I think the Blazers understandably want some flexibility when things aren't in writing.
Yeah.
And I had a source with the city say there's some frustration because they have these standing meetings on Fridays, I believe they are. And they'll reach some agreements, and then they get a call from the team, and they have to walk back some of those agreements, which, to your point, makes you think they're obviously negotiating, reporting back to somebody who says, no, 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 no. I don't agree to that.
Right.
And I think when there's nothing in writing, it allows that flexibility for them to, as a negotiating party, and I understand why the city wants it in writing as well.
God, this is...
Yeah.
Can you stick around another segment?
Yeah, yeah.
You got it? Okay.
I can.
We got to talk Georgia football, too.
Yeah.
I mean, while you're here, we can't not talk
really,
Georgia football.
I can stick around to the end of the show.
Let's do it. Do you want to hang out? Yeah. Perfect. So we got last one before we go to break. We'll come back and talk a little more about this. When does everything start today?
9:30 is the meeting. You look at the agenda, it will be about 45 minutes to an hour before they get into Motive Center stuff.
Okay, so 9:30 it starts, but sometime after 10 o'clock is when we'll start deliberating this stuff. Okay, more Wright Gazaway on the other side. If you got any questions for him, 503-864-6326. Nobody better in the market covering this story from the start. Big City Council vote today on the MOU funding for the Motive Center renovation plan. Back after this, and more on that next on The Fan.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, welcome back in. It is 9:28 on your Wednesday morning. We got a just ho-hum city council vote going on today. I'm sure it'll be business as usual. Nothing contentious will happen. Wright Gazaway in studio with us. K2, at Wright K2 on Twitter. I'm serious. Go give him a follow because he has been awesome in making sense of this madness the entire time. I wanted to throw a couple of listener questions at you, Wright, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
This one came from Lazy Panda. I have a question. If the renovation deal passes, does it include the extension of the lease? And if so, for how long?
Yes. If this final deal passes, the lease agreement would extend. I will say there's some negotiating over. It will be 20 years. It will either be 20 years from when it's agreed to, or 20 years, if the city gets its way, from the end of renovations. So 3 years from now.
Got it. Okay. The current lease, the bridge lease that they signed, expires in 2030?
It would not be 20 on top of that.
Okay. Would not be on top of
that. It would either
be
20 essentially starting in 2029.
Okay.
Or 20 starting...
Interesting. Okay.
Whenever they sign the agreement.
And the city obviously wants the latest possible date in the team.
And the reason the current lease ends October 11th, which is after the NBA arena or the NBA season starts, is because the original lease was written that it started the night of the first major event in the new completed arena, which was an NBA game.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Another one here. We still haven't seen the budget to justify $600 million for the Motor renovation. Very few arena projects across the country have cost that much. How come the Motor price tag is so high?
I think that's the big question for the city. The team's position, and they laid it out in the last meeting, was they got a review in 2021, 2020, as that original lease was coming up. Mm-hmm. And they said they found about $800 million worth of work that they could do, and they settled on this $600 million of what they should do. And that's been the biggest point of contention with, like, how did the city and the team and the mayor and the county and the governor settle on this number? And the mayor says they used the NBA. The NBA... for whatever reason that I can't necessarily explain, obviously has expectations of the kinds of arenas they want their teams playing in from a fan experience and just from a revenue generation perspective. And the mayor's position was the NBA basically said, this is a number we can agree to where we would feel comfortable having one of our teams play in this arena. But that is the big sticking point of, like, where's it coming from?
Right.
I would just say that there's not really much dispute from the team's perspective that they can find $573 million worth of work. They already feel like the project will be scaled down from what they originally...
What the biggest thoughts
Correct.
And expectations could have possibly
and
been.
And honestly, things are more expensive now.
No doubt. And then how does that pair into to where the city themselves came out with their own study that said if the arena is to... It was going to cost, what, 400? It was high 400s, if I remember correctly?
Yeah. So they got a facilities condition assessment before they bought the arena or before the arena transitioned to them, which was predicated in this prior lease. They didn't really have much of... Their two options were we can take it on or we can demolish it. So they had this, but it required a condition assessment. Mm-hmm. That was looking at if we kept the building exactly as it is today, this is the work that it would need to remain in good working condition. The renovation obviously totally... renovates the arena. So it's looking at a totally different scope of work, whereas this was just looking at, we'll keep the layout the same, the entrance is the same, the concourse is the same.
Right,
we're
right.
just going to, this is what it will take to continue operating as is.
Okay, interesting. Somebody asking, now this is impossible to know, but I'm curious your thoughts on it, because you have done a great job of kind of finding a way in with both sides here, right? And this is a very contentious public negotiation, and it certainly will not change in the coming months. Somebody asking, does Tom really want his team to stay in Portland? The city seems like they're playing ball, and he's dragging his feet with every step. And that's where it's been, I think, complicated for people on the outside looking in, where there's times where you look at it and say, dear God, why is the city being so Portland? Like, can we just get out of our own way? And then I hear stuff in a, you know, that meeting with the lead attorney and Dwayne Hankins, and they're all there, and they're going over this lawsuit stuff. And it's like, guys, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. They're not going to sue you unless you leave. And so there's almost a blame going both ways. Do we think Tom Dundon wants to keep the team in Portland?
That's the million-dollar question. I told the team, I after that meeting, I said to fans, the insistence on losing this litigation threat that only really happens if you leave has a lot of people feeling like that's the end goal, because why would it be such a concern? And I think they find their reasons for it. But,
sure.
I mean, I told them straight up, that's what fans think. When you look at a clause that can only be used if they leave, it makes fans think the worst.
Feels like there's a trap door set up, and we're like, they just want us to walk into it.
Yeah.
And all right, hey, there you go. You got not going to sue us. We're gone. See you later. Let's go to St. Louis.
Assuming the vote does pass, at least for the city, settles on an amount that they're going to contribute to the financing package.
Yeah.
Outside of the Trailblazers, is there any influence from the Portland Fire, Sport Oregon, any other parties that would be looking to Live Nation, I have no idea, that would be looking to use the arena as a venue for events to be at the negotiating table for the long-term lease, or is that strictly 100% Trailblazers and Rip City Management?
Well, and I think that's, you hit it on the head there. What's a little bit confusing, and I hope I don't confuse people, but Tom Dundon bought the Trailblazers and he bought Rip City Management. So really all these negotiations are with Rip City Management, which is the operator of the arena. They technically sublease to the Trailblazers. So the Trailblazers are the Fire. They're these other events. So really everything's happening with Rip City Management. And yes, the Trailblazers, because they're linked. But this is all happening in the context of a negotiation with the arena operator as Rip City Management, and I think that's where they need to come to the agreement. Mm. And what's different is most NBA teams do operate the arenas they work in, and people haven't fundamentally understood what that means, which just means that every single event that happens there, they retain the revenue, the tickets, the concessions, and I'm sure they have agreements with the performers and with the Fire that there's some revenue share, but as the operator, they retain the lion's share of the revenue, not the city as the owner of the building.
Interesting.
A lot of NBA arenas are owned by public governments, and I've been told
right.
it's for tax reasons or for a range of reasons, but the operator is where all the revenue is, which I think is why the city's asking for some of the revenue share, which is not Orlando just got a $300 million arena renovation. Mm-hmm. The city of Orlando operates that arena, which is rare.
Yeah.
The Magic also agreed to share some of the revenue from the naming from the naming rights.
Really?
And they give the city a cut of their corporate suite sales. So the city and they pay rent. So Orlando's basically essentially financing it for the team.
Yes.
The Thunder, also, they pay $58,000 a game. Multiply it by 50, which is pretty reasonable for them right now. That's almost $3 million, and it goes up 3% a year.
So the city's not that out of bounds for asking for maybe the $2 million tacked on top of the original ask is too much, but the idea of them paying rent is not unthinkable when you look at other NBA
markets. Look at Sacramento, they split the cost of the arena renovation with the city there, and they were obviously neutered because the NBA had voted down their relocation, but they pay rent that will more than offset the city's investment. So the city will actually capture some on top of what I think they put in 290 something. And if you look at their lease, they're paying almost $400 million in rent. I think it's $391 million.
Do you know how long the current MOTA sponsorship is?
That I don't know, but MOTA testified that there is still an agreement. And I think the original number was it was a 10-year deal. I think at like $40 million was the original reporting.
I remember that,
That's private. The city does not know that now.
Now, is that deal with the Trailblazers or is that deal with Rip City
Management?
That's
with Rip City, and they don't have to share that information with the city as it stands today. Okay. So the city doesn't actually know.
They don't know how much they're getting out of it.
Yeah.
That makes things a little bit easier. Golly.
But it's the Magic have a unique agreement. Getting some naming rights revenue is unique.
Yeah. So as we go forward with this, I'm curious to ask you, things have been obviously very contentious. And I think to that listener's point, there's this idea at times from the Blazers that it does appear like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Are you negotiating in good faith? And you can certainly point the finger at both sides on that, because there's a lot of stuff that's happened from the city council that have, like, you're enjoying your moment in the spotlight. That doesn't happen very often for a city council member, and you have a much larger audience paying attention to what you're doing right now that you don't usually get. Where do we think the rhetoric from a public testimony standpoint goes, assuming things pass today, 7584, whatever it is, 6-6, and you get the MOU agreement? Do we think the rhetoric heats up or does it cool down? Like, there's a lot of contentious points that remain here. So I guess another part of that question would be, how much of that negotiation will happen in public? How many more, you know, of those public testimony moments will we have? Or is this all locked into a room behind closed doors?
This will go private for them. Okay. I mean, the city council will still be getting updates in their executive sessions, but there will be very little that happens publicly until you have that vote at the end. Okay. And I read some owner, I can't remember who it was, these owners like to negotiate. I think Tom Dundon said on April 2nd, like, I expect this to be difficult. The city is going to advocate for their side, and we're going to do the same. So I think some of this is
seems like a guy.
Look at his head coach he just hired. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
He dragged his feet.
I think he likes to negotiate.
Yeah. I mean, and he won that negotiation because he got the coach he wanted on a 1-year guaranteed deal.
And, you know, people who are wealthy negotiate. Look, watch any of those real estate shows. And haggle over $10,000 on a $20 million house.
That's his sport. That's his competition. Yeah.
What I'm looking for is how far things need to get down the road to get him in the room. Because I think once he gets in the room, he's ready to do a deal.
I think
until that time, as long as he's, you know, floating around Texas or wherever else he goes, until he sits in the, when I find out, when you tell me Tom Dundon is in town, he is sitting down with city negotiators, I'm like, okay, something's going
to
get done.
I think the city is hopeful that that starts to happen after this term sheet passes. And there was a reason, because there was some talk about, do we delay this August 12th vote? And I had people high up in the city say, we need that vote really yesterday. Like, there's a reason we want this vote to be public and it to be soon, because they want to essentially put their seriousness on the table, I think, and they felt like the term sheet, just the draft, would induce the team to be more of a collaborative negotiator. But now, when there's a vote, it's out there.
Last one I got, and then I do want to talk Georgia football with you, because you're kind enough to hang out. I want to let you talk about something you want to talk about, because I know you want to
talk about this.
I know you do. This is why you're great at it, because you truly believe it and you're passionate about it. And that makes it, instead of me trying to explain it, I'm like, this, my head's spinning and this is all way too convoluted. When one of the criticisms of the idea of giving a billionaire money, right, especially in a city politically like Portland, is the idea of, well, look at the budget restrictions we have, look what we're closing, look at the school funding situation, right? Like, what are we losing in order to make sure that the Blazers don't leave town? And that's one of those things that I've had a hard time fully pinning down on. The one hand, the state, most of the taxes, if I'm correct, are coming basically from taxes that only exist because the Blazers are here.
Yeah, all of them come from taxes generated at the arena.
So just the arena. So
and the state's position is that money most of that money leaves right. If the team leaves.
And so we should do something to keep them around because we lose the rest of the revenue if they're gone. I know the county deliberated. Now, I didn't see this because I was on vacation, but one of the things that they were looking at hitting was the car rental tax, which ironically, one of them brought up that pool of money has exploded in the last 2 years.
Because of Oregon.
Because all the Big Ten fans were coming and they fly to Portland, rent a car, drive to Autzen, drive back. And so that money has exploded. That was an interesting sports tie-in. So that seems like I don't know about all, but a bulk of that money will come from.
Now it all will.
Okay, it all will come from that. Likely all will come from that. Where is the money coming from the city?
So that's still to be determined. The mayor's proposal has so the city and the county have business income taxes that will be triggered by the sale of the team. The city anticipates getting about $40 to $50 million in one-time money. And the mayor's position in the best budget practice is when you get one-time money like that, you don't allocate that to ongoing programs because then you just have to make the cuts later. The need for making cuts doesn't go away. So a lot of the recommendations on one-time money is you use them for capital investments, bridges, roads, things that an arena, whereas like
right.
It's just one time.
Here's
done.
The money, take it. Yeah.
So that's about $40 million.
Okay.
Prosper Portland is the city's economic development arm. They're debating between 5 and 10, maybe on the lower side of that.
Okay.
So what they need to figure out is this last 70-ish million. The mayor has proposed using money from the Portland Clean Energy Fund.
Where are we at on that?
Which is a 1% tax paid by companies that have more than $1 billion in revenue. So the city doesn't ever name them, but you can imagine it's
guess
Target,
who it is,
it's
right.
Fred, you know, it's the Kroger's, those.
And that has ended up being, if my reading is correct, a much bigger pool of money than they imagined when they initially installed
tax. The advocates for that proposal back in the late 2010 said it would estimated $30 to $50 million a year. I believe this year it's closer to $230 million.
Wow. Okay.
So the pot of money that they're looking at using this $75 million from would come out of almost $1 billion project fund.
Interesting. Okay.
So the contention is that money has technically been allocated to future projects, but the mayor is saying we can take the 70, we can reallocate, you know, money will, this tax doesn't sunset. So it's not going to just run dry.
Now that money would have to get approved by an independent board that would say that this is, there are green energy parts and that's like, it makes sense, right? You're going to have to redo your furnace and all that heating and cooling stuff.
That's what's weird is the city, that committee makes a recommendation, but the city council can do whatever they want.
Interesting. Okay.
The charter and the rules around it are very clear, and but they could also rewrite the rules if they wanted to.
Right.
I think there's pretty broad understanding that there are climate related components to this project that would fit. That's why they want the plans, because that committee does need to look at, okay, say we're doing $30 million for an HVAC unit that's not diesel and it runs on hydrogen, whatever. I'm just
put some damn solar panels on the roof.
Anything like that, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So but that's why they want specific plans, is so that they can make a educated recommendation.
Got it. And are we assuming or guessing that if the MOU is signed today and we start to get more details about what the Blazers are looking at doing at the arena, then that can go in front of that committee and say, here is our, for lack of a better phrase, our green energy plan.
Correct. And then when they have a final vote in December or January, that's when the funding sources would need to be locked in.
Okay.
Governments have flexibility, and the mayor, I think, I understand people who say, well, we just made all these budget cuts, but the reality is public budgets, a lot of their funds are restricted. So the climate fund, that's a restricted fund that can only be used. It can't be used to plug schools. It can't be used to plug police.
Maybe
or
we should have thought about a different way to use that money. It seems like there's a lot of it.
There's been
there.
Some proposals to do that. There was an effort to get some of that money rerouted to police, and it looks like it failed. But there's a lot of discussion about that.
I think if it's just to dispel this notion that it's like, are we closing schools or paying for the MOTA Center?
Yeah,
as if that's the quid
pro
quo.
It's not that binary at all.
I just wanted to point that out for people who had that. One more. Wright Gasaway is in studio with us. He's been kind enough to spend the 9 a.m. hour with us. City council vote happening shortly, about maybe 30 or 40 minutes away here from not voting, from the deliberation starting. So one more segment with Wright. And we'll wrap up the show on a Wednesday next on The Fan.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, one more in here. Right, Gazaway hanging out with us. Kind enough, the entire... Dude, this guy got off a bird from Cabo last night and decided, you know what I want to go do? I want to go do some local sports radio in the morning.
I suggested
that's why he is a man of the people.
Strolled into City Hall with board shorts and flip-flops and a Corona. What's going on?
It was Pacifico.
Pacifico. Okay. Yeah. Are we watching? The city council has begun. The meeting has begun for the day.
Yeah, they're talking about amending the comprehensive plan map and zoning map for a vacant lot at Northwest 31st and Willamette Heights.
Inject that into my veins, man. Okay. I'm into that, baby. Yeah. Did I read correctly that our city is contemplating digging through my trash to make sure I'm recycling properly? As the newsman, can you tell me,
No, that's a pilot project.
Okay.
We had a live interview with that, and I asked them, you know, hey, people don't like the idea of you digging, and they said, we have a legal right to, if you look at our agreement.
So they can rip open your garbage bag and see if there's...
Well, they're looking in your recycling bin, which you're not supposed to have bags in there.
Got it, okay.
But they're not fining people. They're saying it's not a fine. It's simply an educational piece so people know what they can put in. Okay. I will say, they were saying what can and can't go in the recycling. I did not admit this on air, but I might be a violator. I need to amend my recycling.
Dude, we're all violators. Come on, man. We all... You get the... is it like the styrofoam? You get those... Like if you buy something that comes in a big box. And
my
it's,
trash can's tiny because
you're not
so
supposed
expensive.
To put that stuff in there. Where else are you supposed to put it, man? I will admit, I don't care.
Be a bigger
you're not
garbage
supposed to put
can.
Loose trash in the garbage can either, which I always throw stuff loosely in there.
My recycling bin is twice as big as my garbage can.
Yeah, don't look in my
trash.
You
want to recycle? Okay, recycle this, recycle that.
Don't tread on me, man.
I have become way better at recycling. Recycling comes every week and trash comes every other week, and my garbage can is tiny.
Well, get ready for when the kid comes, dude. That's the first thing you
need to upgrade
kid
to the
comes,
bigger trash.
You got
to
go to the bigger
trash.
You are
diapers,
screwed.
Those diapers build
your
up.
Biggest
I have an agreement
job.
With my neighbor. She's a nice lady.
To lay throw an extra
trash
bag in.
And yes. Just been takes out once a month.
One of the first things you got to do, kid comes along, you got the bigger trash cans necessary, and do not forget to take it out every week.
Yep.
Because if you don't,
we were gone last Friday. We've been gone on a couple of garbage Fridays, and I'm like frantically texting my neighbors,
finding somebody.
Please get my garbage can.
Help me
or
out
I'm
here.
Driving it to K2.
Please. To bring it down to work. We used to have that at our old building. We had a dumpster that we had access to, and then somebody. Somebody amongst us abused the power, and then they put it behind a lock. It's like, oh no!
Oh man! I hope my boss isn't listening because I have a nursing chair box that will absolutely have to go in the recycling bin at work.
So, for people who don't know, you're obviously you've been great on this story. You're an investigative reporter. You host a K2. You also played football at Georgia. You are a Bulldog.
Yeah, and playing's doing a lot of work there.
Well, I mean, you
I know. My wife says don't be self-deprecating.
You had a jersey and a number?
Did you have a jersey?
I have a jersey. I've got four jerseys at home. I got a Letterman plaque. And okay. I'm a Letterman.
Okay. So we wore a helmet. We wore pads and a jersey on Saturdays in Athens, Georgia.
Yeah. And they treat everyone really well.
What do we make of the white uniforms?
I like them. I find it funny that they finally came around in the era of NIL as a means of, hey, if you join our NIL collective, we'll wear white. Next thing you know, they knew enough fans would do that.
It's smart
move. They've been like teasing these. They'll do like those, you know, when they do the recruiting visits and everyone in their family will dress up in uniforms.
Yes.
They'll post pictures in these outfits that we've never worn. Like, it's like a teaser.
Yeah. I want that uniform. Wear that uniform, man.
Or the equipment team is notorious for this, and it's the same people that was there when I was there. They're hilarious. I worked at a bar, and I used to negotiate bar tabs for all the coaching clothes because they got shorts with pockets. We didn't get shorts with pockets because they didn't want them caught in the pockets while practicing. Anyways, they'll like post videos of uniforms, and they'll always have like a little treat in the back of like black uniforms or jerseys we don't wear.
Right.
It's like they have them.
They got them. They're right there. How are we feeling about the Bulldogs this year?
Man, I feel really good. I mean, it's hard not to every year. I just think anytime you bring back this much talent, especially at the quarterback position, a lot of our defense is back. We are young. But I think our receiving core will be really good.
We'll see you in Vegas on January 25th. What do you think?
I certainly hope so. Yeah. I should be on the paternity leave.
Paternity leave, yeah.
Think about that.
You'll be on leave, national championship game. Yeah, come on.
It'd be great if they played Oregon.
Take it all the way back to game one. I was in Atlanta for the 49-3 game.
That was a good one.
That was not a good one.
I got so much talk at work all summer, and then no one talked to me on Monday.
Wait, what do we got? You're going to be on 3:30 to 7 today?
Yep.
Okay, so covering all this.
And as I told you, I think I said it off air. Maybe I said it on air. I won't be as detailed this
Yes, but go follow him on Twitter at RightK2. All the updates. We've got a city council vote. Thanks so much, man, for popping up.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, dude. Right Gasway's been awesome. Go follow him. We'll see what the city council does. We'll react to it tomorrow on preseason football returns tomorrow as well. Brady Henderson will be on the show at 9:25 covering the Seahawks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Marang, is next. Listen to 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.